The Rage with John Bowd on www.trexfm.org.
Welcome to John Bowd's All The Rage. We're live, we're happening. Today we'll be talking about free speech and hate speech. Take it away, John.
Thanks, Dave. Welcome, listeners. This week on the show, we will give a sort of companion piece to our first show on debate in the modern world. We're going to discuss, as Dave mentioned, the notion of free speech, when and how it crosses the line into hate speech, and why a bunch of washed-up, whiny white blokes in a pub crying about the immigrants don't count. This is a favourite subject of the intellectually ineffective and the self-made victims, but funnily enough, the ramifications of hate speech never actually affects them very much. We will discuss who it does and doesn't affect on the show too. Firstly, we're going to go to look at free speech versus hate speech, and we'll get a few points out of the way now, and then we'll go into a little bit more detail about them. So, regards free speech, you as a citizen are protected from government intervention into your expression or freedom of expression up to a point. And that point cuts off when you violate the rights of others. When you threaten law and order, such as calling directly for violence or rioting or some kind of attack, or when you threaten people directly. Hate speech is speech that attacks a person or group on the basis of attributes such as race, religion, ethnic origin, national origin, sexual orientation, disability, or gender. Free speech does not allow you to broadcast however you want. For instance, I can't just show up in the studios of the BBC and demand that I be let on air. It also does not mean people are compelled to listen to you. Now, the people I'm going to shine the most criticism on this week have a couple of things in common, which I may go on about a bit too much, but they are vital to understanding this situation and the main point, really, of what I'm trying to say in the show this week. These people are all in the attention business. And by that is, I mean their job, whatever passes for it, is to get clicks on the internet and conversations going that centre around them, something they've said, or something they've done. They are also uniformly on the right of politics to varying levels, increasingly the far right and even openly fascist. The most common way that fascists in the modern world try to mainstream their views and hide their real intentions is behind notions of free speech. We are going to go into discussing free speech laws specifically, but I thought I'd take it a little easy on you this week and give you a quick music break to begin with before we get into the really, really heavy stuff.
John so Bowd, all the rage, all the on Trex FM, Trex FM, Trex FM.
Yeah, right, but we need a beat that they can front to. Oh, that'll work. Be funky. You know what I'm saying? Cars ride drive with the booming system. Cars ride drive. Cars ride drive with the booming system. Funky. Cars ride drive. All the cars out there and all the brothers. Cars ride drive. I like the front they ride. Cars ride drive. Check it out. You know it's funky, 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 cause you heard it from hearsay. A jam that you love that don't be getting no airplay. Strictly for frontin' when you're riding around. 12 o'clock at night with your windows down. Headlights blinking cause your battery's drained. Armor all on your tires and a big gold chain. Parking outside all the hip-hop spots. Push the EQ and play connect the dots. Leaning to the side, people everywhere. The trunk full of amps, ain't no room for spare. Big beats bumping with the bass in back. All the sophisticated suckers getting a heart attack. Cause they don't understand why I act this way. Pumping up the funky beat until the break of day. It's because I want attention when I'm riding by. And the girls be on my jock cause my systems fly.
Cars ride by with the booming systems. Cars ride by with the booming systems.
Just fun.
Cars ride by with the booming systems. Cars ride by with the booming systems.
Girlies wanna ride with a brother like me. Cause they be hearing me getting funky frequently. They tell me don't drink and drive, I say what is this? Pass the Heineken and mind your business. Roll up a fat one and pass it around. Laid back, hypnotized by the funky sound. People in the street see me bobbing my head while I'm checking out the rapper and the rhyme that he said. I'm frontin' and I don't care if you know. The backseat of my car's like a disco show. You would think I was a good friend of Al Capone. Crazy air freshener, who needs cologne? Bottom, to the top, cruise. It's 3 o'clock, the girlies, they smile. They see me coming, I'm steady humming. I got the funk that drum, I drumming. My trunk be shaking, vibrating and rattling. Pumping so loud, all the shorties be battling. A right-hand man's here without the swing. Every chance I get, I'm showing off my rings. I can keep it up until the break of dawn, cause I'm frontin' in my ride and my word is bond. Cause I ride, ride with the boom, you know what I mean? Cause I ride, ride. Sunroof open so I can feel the wind blow. I don't give a damn if it cracks my back window. C to the O to the O to the L to the I to the N to the F to the R to the O to the N to the T to the I to the N. That means I'm chillin' like Spoonie G said. My seats are soft like a bed. They recline way back so I can get real cozy. I got the gangsta tapes in the place like a bass head would say. I want bass, I want a hit, I want a dose. You're rolling up smiling but you can't come close, cause my system is pumping loud. Like Rock him said, I wanna move the crowd. I warm it up with game, fight the power with PE. Tell the cops you got to chill with EPMD. This is something devastating that'll break the trunk. And remember Uncle L is like the future of the punk. Yeah. So next time you're in your ride pumping it up, just remember it's cool.
Hello, Cool J and Booming System from 1991. You're listening to John Bowd's All The Rage. We're live, we're happening. Don't forget from 8, you got me, the Badger, straight after John. But John, take it away.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to talk about free speech laws in reference to, or laws in general, but specifically in reference to the kind of wonderful people I was talking about before the music break, and we'll tell you a lot more about. The main platform that these people operate on has it that their free speech is being taken away in some way. By free speech, what they mean is the right to call gays, women and ethnic minorities nasty names and make up stories about Muslims. Cutting through the bullshit, however, let's look at the actual laws on free speech and hate speech. Freedom of speech itself is part of the freedom to express oneself, and specifically in the public domain, without fear of censorship or punishment. And this is, in fact, a human right. It's covered by Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and most nations grant this recognition. There are, however, limits relating to hate speech, obscenity, and defamation. In Britain, there is what is known as a negative right under common law, as in there's nothing written within British law regards free speech. However, for that we have to turn to Europe. Because since 1998, Britain has been covered by Article 10 of the European Convention, after this was incorporated into domestic UK law under the Human Rights Act. So the exceptions are as follows. Similar to what we talked about in the intro, threatening, abusive or insulting behaviour, intending or likely to cause harassment, alarm or distress, or the same that might reasonably be thought to cause a disturbance of the peace. And therefore this would cover racist language and or targeting of individuals based on race, religion, etc. Sending of any articles which are indecent or grossly offensive with the intent to cause distress and anxiety. And again, this would cover things like speech of a racist nature or anti-religious nature or something such as Holocaust denial, which sadly is something that still happens quite a lot in the world today. And all of this would be broadly covered as incitement, which can include incitement to racial hatred, religious hatred, to commit terrorism, for instance, plus a few more choice bits. So your speech can be repressed if you slander someone as well, or a company. Sadly, less for a community. You can get away with that a lot easier. Britain has very strong libel laws. And unfortunately, I don't think we have time to go into this week, but if you want a very interesting example of how libel laws work within a political domain, I would recommend listeners check out the McLibel case, which I believe there's a very good documentary on too, if you get a chance to find it. But yeah, it may come up in future shows too. An interesting little exception to all this, by the way, is Britain's parliamentary privilege that basically allows you to say things within Parliament that can be untrue, but you can still get away with it. We will discuss that and its frequent abuse another day. I'm also not sure where I stand on obscenity laws, whereas my general attitude towards little Tommy Robinson, who we'll talk about in a minute, and the rest of his mates, is to tell him to queue up and suck my cock. But I've no doubt somebody will be in touch to tell me where I stand on that one. Now, before we go into the main body of tonight, I'm going to have a little epilogue. Apparently, there was an incident where little Tomo, who we'll talk about more in a minute, was removed from Speaker's Corner. which, for those of you who've not been to London, is a bastion of free speech. It's a little corner of Hyde Park where you can basically stand and say whatever you want to. However, some people seem to be under the mistaken notion that when you stand there, you don't get heckled, or you shouldn't be heckled. Just a quick point of view, everyone. If you're standing on Speaker's Corner and you're saying something that doesn't attract hecklers, you must be the most boring person on earth, because no one's paying any attention to you. So yeah, it's a two-way process, at least. Actually, it could be an eight-way process if you piss enough people off. But anyway, that's what happens. Now, specifically on the day, Mr. Yangtze Lin, his real name, called for there to be a battle. So his language had the potential for a call for violence. He didn't say an ideological battle or peaceful battle or any other specification. He just said battle. And in keeping with his previous comments, which are too long to list here, but they have often involved calling for or predicting one form of violent clash or another, mainly between British culture and Muslim culture, as he puts it, this would be around about right. And this is one of the reasons the authorities took him away from where he was. Now, I should also point out, by the way, which again for reference to the stuff we're going to cover later, most of these comments that little Tommy has made, I've heard on many a mainstream media outlet, far too often on BBC Radio 4, particularly the Today programme. He's been on Newsnight, which again for people outside of Britain might know, it's a flagship BBC news programme. He's been on Good Morning Britain, where even Piers Morgan, one of the least liked people in this country, managed to batter the crap out of him. Although what we got out of this, I don't know, but I'll talk about that in a while. Now, the government was well within their rights to prevent him from undermining other people's rights in everyday life by this sort of attack. Government can even deny entry to the country to anyone they judge to be a hate preacher or a troublemaker. Such people are still able to broadcast whatever they want to, but a country like the UK is not required to provide them with a platform to do so at the potential risk to citizens. Private companies can also remove you when you violate their terms and conditions. And apparently this is what's happened for Twitter and what they've done to little Tommy. Hence the London event that we're going to talk about from last week. This event that happened on the 6th of May was titled A Day of Freedom. And it was run by the aforementioned, but I'll give you a bit more detail about him now, silly little fascist and failed football hooligan who calls himself Tommy Robinson. His real name is Stephen Yangtze Lennon, but for some reason, little Tommy has decided to take on the stage name of a well-known hooligan. The hooligan culture, for those of you not in the know, was prominent in British football during the 1970s and 80s, where many groups of fight-loving fans of one team or another used to fight supporters of other teams, inside football grounds, outside the grounds, in the streets, or wherever they could. They also had many of them had quite strong associations with far-right groups, such as the National Front. The authorities in football have done a pretty good job curtailing their antics in the last 30 years or so, but they're still around. And one organisation that's recently emerged is called the Football Lads Alliance, or FLA. There is also a democratic FLA, because these bellends can't keep a group together for very long without having some kind of split. So there's actually already two of them. Anyway, they were very present on the 6th of May event, and they have found a new outlet for their violence and racism by pretending to stand up for free speech. Sadly, some people have been fooled by all this, because it's stupid, but as was shown on the 6th of May event, they are the same people that have always been from day one. They harassed the counter demo that I was on. They punched a few people while passing by, jumping over policemen to actually try and hit us. The one who was standing straight in front of me actually didn't hit me, which I'm greatly disappointed about, but that's another story. They also attacked a couple of Muslim people who showed up at the Day of Freedom because they wanted to speak. They're quite well-known YouTubers, I believe, one named Ali Dawar and a fellow named Mohammed Hajib, who were trying to voice their opinion, but they were physically attacked in the case of one of them, and another just prevented from attending. He was told that he wasn't allowed in. Some other great antics that occurred there. Now listen, just advance warning to listeners, I need to tell you some of the things that were said at this event. It does involve me using some pretty offensive language, but I'm sure you'll understand that it's within the context. So, British MP Diane Abbott was mentioned. Someone from the audience called for her to be murdered, specifically with the words, "Hang the black bitch," while they were being egged on from whichever speaker was on the stage at that time. There was an incident of a young Muslim family having racial slurs yelled at them as they passed by. They were passing by in the street, which is Whitehall, where this took place. And since the weekend, we've had even more info emerge. There was an interesting video I saw today by some bloke named Vinnie Sullivan, where he claimed that, in fact, the rally wasn't about free speech per se, but from his point of view, which was a DFLA point of view, it was only about right-wing freedom of speech, that they felt they needed to be heard. There was also a speaker who claimed that Muslims have sex with goats. A gay man who was passing and happened to have a rainbow badge on him was told to, quote, fuck off, you queer cunt, and plenty more of that sort of thing. Now, this whole event was a gaggle of right-wing soft and hard types, including UKIP and GI, also known as Generation Identity. There was the presence of other well-known extremists. Little Tommy was the main person behind kind of orchestrating it. But also there was a fellow there named Luke Pippin, formerly of the far-right violent group Combat 18, who also has a tattoo of Adolf Hitler on his side. If you don't believe me, go to whatever image website you like, type in Luke P-I-P-P-E-N and you'll see. There was also, by the way, a lot of money that went on behind this event, because there was a huge screen to broadcast the whole thing. They managed to shut off Whitehall and have, you know, generators and everything. There's definitely some money going. I wonder, and I haven't been able to research this yet, but referring back to our first show, you might remember, Dave, I mentioned a fellow named Jim Dowson, who was a money man behind a lot of the far right. I don't know if he's involved somewhere, but I wouldn't be surprised. Anyway, the next event this lot plan to do is in Manchester on the 19th of May, and they can be resisted. We'll talk about that in a while. Now, I have used some fascism a couple of times tonight, and I think it's only fair that I define what this is actually meant to. So for my definition, I'm taking this from the Penguin Dictionary of Sociology, the fourth edition, which is the edition I happen to own. I've no idea if there's been more since then, but there probably have. Fascism was first defined, according to this book, as a Mussolini-style system that existed in Italy between 1922 and 1945. The most famous form of it was in Nazi Germany from around 1933 up until also 1945. And this was the ideology that was behind the mass murder of Jewish people, LGBT people, political dissidents, or left-wing ones at least, and many gypsy people, among others. Fascism is authoritarian, nationalist, monocultural, conservative, and illiberal. It glorifies violence and domination of those considered to be weak, and it provides a furthering of the political ideology of white supremacy. It has only ever risen to prominence during times of economic hardship and national failure of some kind or another, when it usually goes more mainstream and tries to pretend its arguments are new and not, in fact, as racist as you remember them being the last time. Meanwhile, the most prominent hate figures have always remained Jewish people, black and other ethnic minorities, in Britain specifically those of a South Asian heritage, among others. Plus, it doesn't really like LGBT people or women all that much, although it sometimes claims it does. In recent years, Muslims have become the main group of hatred from these people, and they've been lied about plenty, including many people actually being unable to accept the election victory in London of the Labour mayor Sadiq Khan, who is often seen as of the wrong, quote, religion and ethnicity to be the mayor of London by these people. By the way, this is another example of how a belief in white power is in fact an extremist position. In modern times, fascism has also fragmented and tried to different methods, particularly concern for a phony notion of white rights and cultural, a white culture automatically disappearing and their rights disappearing when anyone of another race is given equal respect and dignity, which, by the way, is always achieved by those ethnicities themselves through political and social action, through very, very hard work. Now, there is some more definitions about, how racism, hate speech, hate in general, and the actual organisation of fascism is concerned. And at the moment, it is true to say in Britain that there is no really active group of overtly fascist or even otherwise group that is within electoral politics. The BNP are officially dead now as far as electoral group. UKIP are on the way out because they certainly had some of the similar tendencies. And there's a gaggle of a few others around there, but they're never more than a bit, small scale at best. They don't seem to be as interested in electoral politics right now, but that might change. A hotbed for plenty of this right-wing shite, including bags of misogyny, and is what has become known as the alt-right, which itself is probably something we should do a show on sometime, if I can stomach it. And it's mostly an online thing, the alt-right, with a very heavy American basis. But it's a movement that people like little Milo Yiannopoulos, who was also present on the 6th of May event, is very much into. And it's a reason why he was kicked off of Twitter originally, because of a hate campaign targeting a black actress. This is kind of stuff that makes the event we saw on the 6th of May, the typical kind of hate-filled, incoherent belly of drunken rubbish, that is sadly also very threatening. However, one thing is for certain, absolutely none of this or any of these people are interested in free speech. So it therefore has nothing to say on the issue. And this and other watered down versions of it shouldn't be the thing that directs the public conversation, in my opinion. I think it's pretty appalling. Right. I just want to say before we go to the music break, I just want to underline this, that fascism is totally intolerant. It does not care about any freedom of expression, including speech. And it's clear that many of today's right-wing whiners on free speech are really just the totally intolerant ones. There is no compulsion within any free society to give someone a platform to do whatever they want or say whatever they want. You might think there should be, but there isn't. Also, I'd like to flip this. May I ask members of this oppressed, left-behind culture and community and great free speech advocates, do you think that all Muslims should have free speech? Do you think anyone who is categorized as a Muslim hate preacher should have the same access to free speech? Well, some of the events that we saw on the 6th of May, when two Muslim men who are nowhere near of any extremism weren't allowed to speak on the same platform, pretty much tells us everything we want to know. Okay, let's have a music break and then we'll go back.
Well, thanks, John. Just a couple of things before we go to the music break. I remember Sadiq Khan when he won the election as Mayor of London, and I'm not sure who that geezer was. Was it Paul Golding? I can't remember. Turned his back on him on his acceptance or his winning speech, and we accepted that behaviour. That behaviour was acceptable. It didn't even dent mainstream media. That behaviour was disgraceful. The abuse to Diane Abbott. Listen, it seems a running joke on Facebook that she can't count. And I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean when you put that stuff up. Let's be honest with you. It's not that she can't count. You're putting it up there for something else. You know it and I know it. And I know the work she done in Hackney with Bernie Grant in the 80s. Don't listen to that crap. And if you are putting it up, as I'm again going to say to you, I know why you're putting it up. Let's not kid each other, because I don't see any ethnic minority putting those jokes up. The last 10 years of equality within society politically has been disgusting anyway. And as I said, the Sadiq Khan turning that opposition, turning his back on him on his acceptance speech was disgraceful. And we now have an opposition in politics that is demanding equality and wants to tackle racism. And these far-right groups are coming out more and more and more on that basis, because this opposition is a credible opposition. And the media now are twisting it on them and talking anti-Semitism. It's not anti-Semitism, right-wing media or mainstream media. It's racism, and you're not dealing with it. You haven't dealt with it. You're just picking things out and cherry picking those issues. We're going to go to a music break. When John comes back, we're going to continue.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM.
Me. Don't stand above me. Look my way, never love me. Rain keeps falling, rain keeps falling. Down, down, down. Will you recognize me? Call my name.
Song, the sound of Simple Minds and Don't You Forget About Me. They were major contributors to the Celtic football team. Listen, you'll notice something in John's show. Sometimes John will swear, and I say why John swears is because John will attend, and John won't sit there with me as a Caucasian and say this racism is terrible and then move on. John goes to these marches and fronts these people, and sometimes his language is a bit colourful, but he's confronted with colourful language. John, take it away.
Thank you. Yes, I use what a good colleague of ours once called industrial language. So, just before I go on, I just want to come back on a couple of bits that you said before then. Yeah, it was Paul Golding who turned his... He stood as a mayoral candidate for Britain First. He turned his back on Sadiq Khan. Paul Golding is presently resting at Her Majesty's pleasure in one prison or another. The attacks on Diane Abbott are really, really very simple. It's by very sad and broken, mostly white men who are really angry about the fact that she's got much bigger balls than they have. They will never achieve half of what she has as a politician. And if you just look at her, just look at her history, the amount of grief she's gone through, you know, every day. A bit like present Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, who's just never stood down despite an unending onslaught of attacks and media horror, and they still keep going. Yeah, absolutely, that is the real case of it, and we should never forget that. Anyway, it's little surprise, going back quickly to the 6th of May event, that this place was full of extremism. It included, we already mentioned, racial abuse of passers-by, many speakers, including UKIP's present leader attacking Muslims again, and a former UKIP leader who now runs a party called For Britain. I'm not going to bother telling you, because I reckon you can guess what that party is all about. Generation Identity were also present again, their second time recently in London. They are a European group of what have been described as some as hipster fascists. I'm not sure if that means their beards are all exactly the same length and they're all white. I have no idea. But they, again, that's something probably to go in more detail about, is the kind of mainstreaming of this. I find it very... I won't talk about this too much. I've got other things I want to talk about tonight. But the way in which these sorts of people are taken seriously, including outright white supremacists in America like Richard Spencer, who has profiles done about him in mainstream magazines, and they talk about how dapper he dresses and all this kind of stuff. I seem to remember that Joseph Goebbels was quite a dapper dresser too. I really can't stand that when they do this kind of thing. What happens is you then kind of contribute to slowly softening up people's acceptance of these sort of ideals. And also thinking that in this world, as we talked about the first show, where lots of people fall back on the idea of irony, it's only a joke, we don't really mean it. And it becomes difficult to tell the difference, so that when you do sort of question people like Spencer and say, so, you know, do you really want ethnic cleansing of half of America? You don't really want that, do you? He can just say, yes, I do, and here's something else extreme, and they don't really take it seriously. So anyway, don't call GI hipster fascist, for fuck's sake. It just makes them sound more mainstream. Anyway, what GI are really about is that whenever they have a platform, they've used it to, again, attack Muslims. Does anyone see a little thing growing here, a little theory running through all of this? And they also attack other people of colour, putting their safety at risk, which, let's remember, as we talked about earlier, is a threat to their rights. During a demo, again, in Hyde Park recently, they attempted to portray themselves as feminists with concerns about connections between refugee populations in Europe from Muslim countries and rape or sexual assaults for some other reason, or specifically sexual assaults against white women. This failed, however, to provide any evidence, which is another trend we seem to be seeing here. Refugees and sexual assault do not go together in any way. There is no more attacks against women by people who happen to be refugees or asylum seekers, and there never has been. There is no link between ethnic minority populations and sexual assault either. There is no evidence for any of these claims, and no one, unfortunately, is even trying to hide it anymore. The lack of truth here hasn't actually made the viewpoint fall, because unfortunately in the wider world, this is something that we don't have like they do have in the world of academia, where once a theory is proven false, it usually disappears. It does have a habit of reappearing sometimes, unfortunately, but yeah, that's another story. We live in a world where if you want to believe it, you can. Facts, evidence, and truth can be made totally irrelevant, and if you want to believe something or let your emotions reside above reality, you can. Simple as that. It's a freedom that is available to you. The chaos and danger this causes is apparent to most of us. The example of Generations Identity's attempts to cause trouble at Speaker's Corner in London was met with a peaceful but determined counter-demonstration by real feminists, who pointed out that GI were simply lying or exaggerating sexual assaults. Again, they were met by members of GI with threats, on camera shouting down of them and being told that they were being intolerant of free speech, and of course violence and threats of violence. Now we're going to move into responding, which is the major point of what I want to talk about tonight. When such people do appear in public to speak or on social media or anywhere else, the rest of us are well within our rights to respond to them. And this brings me to anti-fascism, Antifa, one of my favourite subjects, and most certainly something we're going to do a single show on later on. Quite simply, people, free speech works both ways. If you organise an event in public to talk about how one group of people, who always happen to be a minority and always under threat already, should be forced to do this or that, or forced to integrate, or should just not be here, we'll organise a counter-event that puts out the view that you are a lying hate monger who bullies minorities and tells lies about them. It's that simple. Our voice is louder than yours, and that's because there's always more of us than you, ultimately. Plus, we have the truth and facts on our side. Now, please underline this, what I'm going to say now, as the main point of the evening. This is free speech and freedom of expression. No one is shutting you down in the street, except when we're shutting you down because what you're doing is a danger to society. And many of us can't, for the life of us, imagine why government's allowed you to get away with it, when all you've ever done is lie, distort, and talk out your arse. If you cannot handle this freedom of expression and free speech, maybe you're the one who should leave. The victim narrative that the far right and many other white communities, I'm sorry to say, have embraced, has it that they are telling some unmentionable truth and the mainstream media and the nasty Antifa are shutting them up. The facts as ever don't matter to them. Their position as victims is all they want, and even if they lost this position in the face of actual truth, I think they would still want to basically take it back because it's what they want. They are washed up and they're worthless, and they want everyone else to be just like them, except their class superiors, who, funnily enough, they're quite happy to live in awe of most of the time, especially if they prove to be just as racist and hateful as they are, which most of the time they are. Just ignore these little children until they go away, unfortunately, doesn't really work. I do respect it when people put that point to me, up to a point, but actually it's something I've got less and less respect for as years have gone on, because I've seen the actual truth on the ground. Also, what I hate about the idea of saying just ignore them, they'll go away, is it's got to be said, this is white and middle class privilege talking. People like me and people in the class above mine are well within their capabilities to avoid this kind of stuff. Where I live out in the suburbs, we don't get a lot of far-right marches, and when they do come through here, they're not likely to attack me. Well, they are, because I'll be the one standing there with an Antifa t-shirt telling them to fuck off, so they probably will. So people who say that they would defend the right to free speech never actually do. It's always a hypothetical. They never put anything on the line. They just lazily adopt ideals that have been spoon-fed to them, along with a dose of patriotic claptrap about freedom and the war and all the things that they would like to stand up for if only they could be bothered to get up. Another one of the things I love, you know, within the far-right circles is so many of them seem to imagine themselves as they would be great soldiers, you know, if only the army would take them. You know, listen, mate, the only fight any of you lot would have on the beach is getting your fat ass out of a deck chair, so I don't think that's going to happen. We in Antifa are not like the rest of our society, sadly. We do what we do because we have a commitment and understanding of history and the things that we believe in, a history that is brutally suppressed so often. And that's something else we'll talk about on the Antifa episode. Our reward for standing up, unarmed, and often far less trained in the language of violence than the fascists and the far right that we're standing up to, our reward for this, for defending the best things about Britain, the best things that Britain actually has as far as values are concerned, such as acceptance and multicultural ideals that a lot of others talk about but don't actually stand up for, we are pilloried in the media, and pilloried by people who are usually too cowardly to fight back themselves. The hate campaign against Antifa is one of the most appalling media-based injustices in Britain today, in my opinion. And like attacks on Muslims, women and Jewish people, among others, it has no basis in reality and is designed to uphold the order of intolerance that keeps everything from ever really changing. I think this is similar to what's put the fear among people a lot that Dave was talking about earlier, which is us now having a very, very credible left-wing opposition in this country who have very, very nearly won power on a couple of occasions, and in certainly many places have done. We don't really have time this evening to talk about the local elections, but there was a farcical amount of coverage of those, where apparently Labour did really badly, and when you actually look at the figures, they didn't, they did really, really well. But anyway, you can look at those figures yourself. At the moment, presently, there's petitions, many petitions doing the rounds, asking that Antifa be classified as a terrorist organisation. Not only is there no evidence for such an extreme move, but these things are often started by free speech advocates, self-made free speech advocates themselves, including an online, a fellow who was at the 6th of May meeting, a fellow named Count Dankula, who I'm not that familiar with, but apparently he does a very fine line in anti-Semitism, among other things. Well, if this is what free speech looks like, this is the worst advert for freedom that I've ever seen, and all I can say to that is thank God for Antifa. Now, let's have a music break before we gallop to the end.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM.
Western season, now we don't need a reason. You already know we the meanest, so we gotta hit him up with a breeze.
One shot, she told me I could make a love truck.
She done what, though, you don't know where we come from.
Must not, she's about as every damn lot. Come watch, you come down,
I'm
baby.
I'm like, oh, wait.
No noise.
She dealing with a dope, wait.
No point.
She heard you move with them, man.
So moist.
They ain't got the music, man, got.
So joint.
So joint.
I can make your love come down, yeah, yeah.
Oh, make your love.
Make your love come down.
Down.
Baby, I've been waiting for you. I've been on you since I saw you.
Without you, babe, ain't no other girl can make me straight. Yeah, make your love come down, oh baby. I don't wanna leave, I make you miss me. One phone call is all it takes for you, my love. Make your love come down.
Yeah, love come down. You can bring your circle when love comes round. I'm now dancing on ice, I was a cheapskate. They say you're living in hell until you deflate. Let it go, more money, more problems. I made for the better flow, don't say that. It's my birthday in June, I want a Maybach to celebrate that. Got lynched and now my chain hangs, yeah. So let the good times roll, she said she wants agent. There's one that books my shows. Don't write my name on this, write my name in lights. You can get attached to a hook, I roll ironically. So if you're the one that I wanna be with, we would've had chemistry and biology. I can make your love calm down, cause I'm DMC. All I need is runs house, say.
I don't wanna be without you, babe. Ain't no other girl can make me straight. Yeah, make your love calm down. wanna leave and make you miss me. One phone call is all it takes for you, my love. Make your love come.
Forget all dilemmas, you should calm down in my place. Ride with me, let me figure out your mind state. It's hot in there, well I can turn up, woo, ice age. It was just a dream, now you're my bae, my wifey. Valentino for Valentine's, yeah they pricey. I know we say the right things, but he ain't nothing like me. We both know you look much better beside me. Yeah, well let me know, I lost a tiny bit of pride, but I'm not letting go. Your mom think you an angel, you are mine on the low. You don't drink, but I can make you whine on me slow, yeah. I know your friends tell you dumb, till it said exchange, I'm praying that you won't. It's the hardest thing ever, trying to fix a heart that I broke. It's been a while since we spoke, I'm here living off hope.
I don't wanna be without you, babe. Ain't no other girl can make me straight, yeah. Make your love come down, oh baby. I don't wanna leave and make you miss me. One phone call is all it takes for you, yeah. My love, make your love come down.
I can make your love come down. Pull up outside like, love come down. Let's go for a ride in the new team. Now she getting up close when I'm zooming. Look good when you ain't even done up. Make mistakes, didn't even use a rubber. She know we started from the bottom of the gutter. Talking love come down, but I know she love come up. You know it's real when she take off the Mac for you. Got the candles lit and she wax for you. And she on her own thing and don't go dig. Even though you pulled with a patch for you. She said she wanna walk down the aisle with me. I said when you're ready we can go Asda. LOL, she replied banter. Smile for the camera, make you fall in love with a gangster.
I don't wanna be without you, babe. Ain't no other girl can make me straight, yeah. Make your love come down, oh baby. I don't wanna leave and make you miss me. One phone call is all it takes for you, my love. Make your love come down.
I can see in your eyes you got sex on your brain. When you see the God, put respect on my name. Straight up approach. You heard I'm a player, well, you could be the coach. But I don't wanna be a player no more. But she don't want no average Joe, yeah. Always on point, but the cameras show. Can't cook, but she make a good sandwich though, hey. I just give and go. What you talking about, Willis? Different strokes.
Tana Weston and Come Down. Using the sample of you, Evelyn King. Her love come down. You listen to John Bowd's All the Rage. I hope I didn't say Chas Chim's Big Debate, but then it's great if I did, because it's all relevant. Me and John, we talk in between tracks, and we're coming up with a new type of show with a free-for-all debate, six-minute debate, then our favourite record, then another six-minute debate, because there's a... We're very angry, me and John, about certain things, but John, take it away.
Thank you very much. Now, I just want to say to listeners, some of you might feel I've spent a lot of time on various types of the far right this evening, but I've done this because I believe in the factor of this week's show, which is free speech versus hate speech. They've very much co-opted the centre of so much of the conversation regarding free speech, and I haven't even mentioned no platforming because I haven't got time this week. Plus, these people always fall into hate speech, no matter what they're saying. So I thought that they were worthy of being the centre of this week's discussion. So moving on, looking out for the kind of far-right and fascist ideals and racist ideals that I'm talking about. If you can stomach it, it's worth watching many of these people's media and public appearances. I find it quite difficult, but it's necessary, so I do it. But the main reason it's worth doing is because they always fuck up somewhere along the line. I'll give you two recent examples. There was a rant from Little Tommy, which was recorded on a mobile phone and actually uploaded by the man-child himself, where he rants that London is no longer an English city, because when he walks around there, he sees, quote, no English men, and for that you can read white men, or at least not enough of them to keep him happy. He says that if Donald Trump visits Britain at some point, which he's supposed to be doing in July, he advises him not to go there and to, in fact, visit a, quote, real English city, although he doesn't actually say where. I presume he probably means Luton, which is where he's from. Luton, so much to answer for. He goes on to say, or rather hysterically shout, that Labour Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, is not a legitimate mayor because he is a Muslim and his position is, in fact, part of a, quote, invasion, which is a common view that's held among many on the far right. And now, compare that to what Dave mentioned earlier on about Paul Golding turning his back. Katie Hopkins, oh dear God, has always been a farcical figure of hate speech and has regularly attacked Muslims. She makes quite a lot of money out of it, in fact, to the point that the Daily Mail has had to pay out damages on at least one case of a Muslim family that she slandered. And she and the paper have paid out a good few more times to others. They eventually let her go, which is saying something. If you're too right-wing for the Daily Mail, then you really are basically Adolf Hitler's girlfriend. She also repeated the language of the former leader of the Nazi BNP, Nick Griffin, in calling for refugee boats in European seas to be sunk. In her case, she called for them to be machine-gunned. And she did this in the Sun newspaper, which, for those folks outside of Britain, just to let you know, that is about as mainstream as it gets. Little Tommy and Katie are effectively having trouble realising that their 15 minutes are over. And this, of course, adds to their desperation and need for attention, meaning that they just keep getting more and more extreme because they're losing it in more ways than one. Also, if these people are such great advocates for freedom of expression, why do they not give a toss about the truth? They give no credence to it. Their form of free speech is really just hate speech hiding under a cloak of wannabe respectability. Much of this lot are now exercised by the terrible child abuse scandals that have emerged recently in northern towns like Rotherham and Rochdale, where young girls were preyed upon by men who happened to be mostly, in this case, of Pakistani origin. And therefore, according to much of our media and the worst MPs that we have in this country, this somehow makes what they did Muslim crimes. They, of course, make very little mention of the many bodies, including the police and the social services, that let these young ladies down horrendously and help to actually put them in positions of danger in the first place. It's not even half the story that these people are responding to. However, we've also seen hate protests in many of these towns nevertheless. Now, this subject is almost certainly going to be the subject of next week's show, so hang in there if you want to know more. Another example, women's rights. Oh, yes. The far right don't give a toss about women's rights. Katie Hopkins hasn't ever volunteered at a domestic abuse shelter, as best I can tell. Neither has anyone from Britain First. And none of them have complained about the austerity cuts in the UK that have actually adversely affected women, especially, including with the shuts of so many domestic abuse centres and places like that, other places of refuge where they can get away from violence and abuse. And I dare say none of them can name any of the girls that were sexually abused in Rotherham or anywhere else in Britain. This stuff is basically just a platform for their racism, and that is as far as they care about it as well. The girls are absolutely worthless to them. None of them gathered outside any Catholic church to protest when the sex scandal regarding the Catholic Church broke, which was absolutely central to it. It wasn't just members, you know, people who went to church on a Sunday. It was central to that. They didn't gather outside any church to do that. They didn't call for Jimmy Savile's flat to be burnt or whatever else, or any of that kind of thing. They don't care about this stuff. By the way, I feel the need to point that out. I'm not having a go at Catholics, so please, if you're a Catholic person, you're all good by me. That's not what I meant. But we all know that scandal was very, very central to, and again, we'll talk about that more next week. Anti-fascism is now, as much as ever, necessary, and probably the most it's ever been in my lifetime. Brexit has given renewed wind behind the sails of these haters of modern Britain, and they think that the consensus is going with them. Intolerance is much more mainstream, and free speech just means hating refugees and Muslims. However, I must ask that if you don't have any interest in challenging fascism and racism, I really have to ask why. Is this really what you want, the way you want to live? How you want to live? If so, I guess that's up to you, but I'll make sure history remembers you. And don't get in the way of me and my friends in Antifa and the great network that we have when we take to the streets to address this filth. You can go be a selfish pussy on your own time, not mine. Also, I'd like somebody to tell me the benefit of actually living like this, where anyone with a loud enough mouth and a platform who's good at presenting themselves can demand that the world centres on them and that their opinions are more important because of free speech. Well, so what? Now, these people are actually giving freedom of expression a bad name. I've often talked on the show and in other places about my lack of respect for people who don't do their homework. And this is a classic example. These ignorant people who either repeat tabloid bullshit and hate speech, or in my opinion, or they just swallow it. I don't feel that such people have any real basis to demand that I listen to them, engage with them, or go out of my way to provide them with a platform. If you want to be broadcast so badly, why don't you make some sodding effort and get yourself a podcast or a radio show or even go on TV? Stop lying, because you know no one is trying to remove your free speech. We just have fuck all interest in what you have to say. And that's plain and simple. And I really don't care how you feel about that. These people are a joke. And if you've ever met with them, you will find, you know, there's a wonderful type that I saw a few of on Sunday, and I'll do my best, as this is radio, to describe them, but they're very physical. They're always quite cocky for some reason, at the same time as embracing. They're arrogant and full of victimhood, which is a strange combination. Although actually it makes sense if you think about it. And they always have these extreme views that aren't based in reality, but they really push them across. They also have a great burning resentment over anyone that they are convinced have a better life at their expense. And this could include women and all the people we've mentioned already. These people I'm talking about, they're usually male, very pale, and have no social skills. And worst of all, they actually have little to no commitment in what they're saying. So I'll just take you to an idea of my experiences so far. I've spoken to some people like this who usually get very hyped up and call me names and have a go at my political beliefs, telling me that I'm going to bring down society, if only, by letting refugees in or having kids with someone outside my race or any of this other claptrap that you can't believe exists in 2018, or just basically voicing outright conspiracy theories. They also do, again, I've tried hard to explain this, but they do the hand thing. And what I mean by this is they just really, really vigorously wave their hands and demand that you know, they'd seem really angry and demand that you engage with them on a theory. And then when you very calmly explain that it's a load of crap, they just move on to the next thing. You know, they're basically just looking to get you, and that's it. And that's my example. They don't even have any real commitment to this. Anyway, in conclusion to all of this, free speech is not a pass. It is not an excuse to never investigate or ask questions about something, about what a person or an organization is saying. Is never an excuse to repress another point of view in any way that might be expressed. The far right do not respect free speech, and they never have. This is part of a modern social cancer, where free expression has been hijacked by those with the time and the ego to try and monopolize social space, not least social media. They do not care anything about their own voice, their own voice being heard. As a writer named Dave Renton said on the RS21 website, there's a good quote here, quote, what they mean by free speech is free and unchallenged speech, the right to frighten and subordinate Muslims, unquote. They show up somewhere and shout, I don't like this for this reason and that reason, and I don't give a toss about the factual basis, and that's just never something that I'm ever going to respect. Let's all please remember the actual results of a society where hate speech is the norm, and the shocking fact of how much we are seeing a return to this today, which I will cover more in the Brexit episode. As the Portsmouth Anti-Fascist Network reminds us, quote, if not seriously challenged, the continuing rise of the right will result in more racist attacks and a general spreading of anti-Muslim hate and racism in society, pushing the mainstream and the state ever more in that direction. When the far right are weak, they cry about their free speech, but when they get half a chance, they will start coming for the Muslims, the anti-racists, the left and the refugees, trying to shut down people's ability to meet, talk and live. However, before we get into the very end of it, I've got to talk about a certain elephant in the room. There is a big elephant in the room here, and it's a very big white one. A white and English one. The reason that fascism is still a thing, as it were, is for the same reasons it rose in the first place. It doesn't affect the majority of people. That is, in a white, heterosexual, and male-dominated society. People from different classes, but mostly either middle class or wannabe bourgeois, they don't care about others enough. And they just want the trains to run on time and their taxes to be low. Also, fascism has always been about preventing the freedom of whoever passes for an underclass. This is about empowering people that society is built on top of, and they have stopped at nothing to prevent this. Fascism was the hardest and most effective version until neoliberalism came along. The sad truth is that most people could not care less. The violence and intolerance of fascism will never touch them or their families, so to them it doesn't matter. And it is down to us to reject these people, their sad need for attention and their factually inaccurate views. We must oppose them by all means available to us. Debunk, protest and shut down. And at the same time, we need to build our own cultural outlets, not reliant on consumption, but built on our daily lives and all the wonderful people we share them with. Leave behind the past and those obsessed by it. Most of it is lies anyway. We have defeated fascism before and we can again. The FLA are not even a party or a coherent group yet, but we must stop them before they become one. If all this carries on unchallenged, we will have a horrible country full of violence where citizens will be afraid to walk the streets. And if you think this is a nice idea, you are the one who should be excluded from society. The next time you hear someone whine about the destruction of British culture, point them towards Little Tommy, point them towards the Daily Mail and the Express and all the Murdoch papers and all the bullshit that constitutes the best we can achieve in free speech in this country. That is where the destruction is coming from. All of us, and especially those of us on the left, have to unite behind a movement to destroy this right-wing movement of intolerance and hatred, and don't let it get stopped by individual differences. We need to create anti-fascism in our communities, among our friends and our neighbours. It's a lot easier than you think. You may not be into doing the street movement thing. That's fine. There's plenty more things that you can do to challenge this extremism, from political campaigning to online activity to education itself. So please, everybody, get involved. And then we have to take the fight to them. Antifa had done it in Kent against UKIP and Liverpool. They basically stopped the dregs of the EDL. It might have even been Britain First who didn't even get out of Lime Street Station last time they tried to do a march there because they were blocked off. We cannot avoid this anymore. We need to stand up and fight back one way or another. And however you feel most comfortable, real freedom demands this. And I got that in just before the end. Recommendations. There's an article on Vice magazine that I haven't actually read yet, but I believe they've got one. RS21 website has a great article about this by Dave Renton, already mentioned. Portsmouth Antifa and the Anti-Fascist Network, which is on Twitter and Facebook, etc. Also, Anti-Homophobe Action UK put a great post up about free speech law and philosophy and the differences. I am done.
Cheers, John. Thank you very much. John will be back next week from Wednesday. Cheers, John.
All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.traxfm.org.